Amy doesn't mind if she doesn't make the scene. She's got a daytime job. She's doing all right. I don't know why we wound up Sultan's swing there, but apparently I did, and I did it by myself.
Yeah, that was all on you.
So anyway, pizza. Recording. And whenever I'll go quiet.
Whenever I go to the store and I see this one brand of Dorito, it like literally changes my day from being sad to happy.
Literally.
Literally.
Changes your day.
That didn't feel good.
No, I think it was a piece of snow or a dead man.
Can you guess what type of Dorito it is?
The purple one.
It's not a type. You need to actually name it.
The sweet...
Is that your tire?
It's my suspension. Don't worry about it. The...
One time you had like a...
sweet chili?
Sweet chili. I think it's just called sweet chili.
Your mom's a sweet chili!
She's pretty nice.
Sit tight, everybody. This is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
The Dorito lover over there is Kyle.
I do. I like me some Doritos.
I like Naruto.
I like me some Doritos. You know what's actually good...
I like Dorude.
I like... I was going to do that too, but I decided I didn't want to be a giant piece of shit. the corn chip version of the Pringles
are pretty good. Yeah. What was the Pringle thing there? You don't just eat them? Do you see that? Or whatever it was?
You don't just eat them, you literally become them.
It's like, what do you do with them, literally. Pringles?
I think it's like the next generation of, once you pop, the fun don't stop. It's like... You don't just eat them, you...
Oh, that is the next generation of regrettable...
cover yourself in Pringle chips and let someone lick them off you.
Truly regrettable slogans, because once you pop, the fun don't stop is really not one that stands up to much scrutiny.
What are you talking about?
I feel like it launches itself into double entendres and innuendo way too fast.
Yeah.
Wow.
They fucking knew.
That guy was not fucking around.
That was intense. Do you think that guy is clairvoyant?
No, I think he's an asshole.
Oh. I mean, they think they're the same person.
Turns out, you can do both. No, he is a dick, though. That guy had a lot of faith in all those other people not running that light, which they often do. We very nearly watched someone get T-boned.
T-bowed.
T-bowed.
Like he kneeled, his car
Q-bone.
Kneeled down and...
Q-bone. Your skull comes out and then it lands on your child's head and the child wears it forever for some reason.
You totally got Q-boned, Kendrick.
Oh, fuck.
Mom!
Seems problematic. My head's very big.
You don't think that...
My mom's head's not
pardon, big. Pardon my vulgarness, but you don't think that your head would fit in your mom's skull?
No.
No. But your mom's head would fit in your skull.
Yes.
A reverse Q-boned?
Yep.
That sounds like a really fucked up sexual move.
That sounds like a really... And everything about it is fucked
up. Babe, do you want to do the reverse Q-bone?
What?
That is correct.
That's exactly what you should...
Followed immediately by, I'm seeing someone else. That's exactly... It's like, wow. That's the...
I've been cheating on you with your brother.
That's like, the move. The move that's so bad that just suggesting it ends your relationship.
It alters the past.
Yeah. Man. That is a problem.
I mean, okay, so I don't get why I can love pizza so much, yet it does irreparable things to my body and bowels.
Technically, they're repairable.
No, nothing's repairable if you don't. Shut up.
Okay.
But, like, pizza's such a good thing.
Yeah?
I mean, not good. I guess it's subjective. Pizza is such a delicious thing.
I love pizza.
I don't know that I've ever
met
anybody that doesn't like pizza.
I did, and then I immediately ejected that person from the vehicle.
Did you? No, you fucking didn't.
No, I mean, but seriously, what's not, I mean, I don't know. I guess y'all with your funky digestive systems, you have issues, but I don't know.
That's just y'all shit. We all eat stuff that upsets our stomach sometimes.
Right, but my stomach is just constantly in the same state of fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
So it doesn't matter what I eat. If I go home and I eat, like, rice and chicken, my stomach will be pissed or not, and there's no bearing on what I'd put in it. The only exception is when I start getting into Dave's Insanity Sauce, that will wreck me the next day. Huh. And that's just because you're not supposed to eat that. You're supposed to use that to keep elephants off of things.
Really?
No.
Is that what it says?
That's what ghost chili, ghost peppers are for. But
oh,
the Dave's
are they
Insanity,
really?
That's what they actually used. That's what they cultivated and used the ghost chilies for.
Chili's a man-made thing.
The boot jolokia, whatever it is, jolokia. It's cultivated. The reason they grow it was not to put it on food. It was to make it into a paste and smear it on enclosures to keep the fucking elephants out.
Dude, fuck you, elephants. I used to
elephants.
Really like elephants.
Stop it now.
It'd be funny if Yoda was like the rubbing ghost chili all over shit.
Busting.
He's like flipping and stuffing, getting ghost chili in Dooku's eyes.
Oh my god, that'd be so bad. But yeah, no, I commiserate. I get where people have issues with it, but for me, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes my stomach is mad. Sometimes it's not. There's been no rhyme or reason. It's like a 3-day lead time, in which case I'm never.
So
gonna
you've
keep
never
track
like
it.
Done the logarithmic analysis of like what food you ate 2.5 days ago that could possibly be causing.
I've thought
you
about
to...
it, but I drink a lot, and I usually just write it off to that.
That's fair.
So
that's a good point, actually.
Because I know IPAs will mess my stomach up sometimes,
seriously,
but not every time. Every now and then cider will, but a lot of times it won't.
I can't figure out what alcohol won't give me a massive headache the next day.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't figure it fucking out. Like, every time I'll try something new,
dehydration,
and I'm like...
Dehydration, maybe?
It is dehydration, it's but, like, it's also... It's got to be something else, because I can drink water, like, all day and drink all water throughout the night when I'm drinking, too, and I still get fucking headaches.
Electrolytes? I got another brain, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's just a
question.
I got a
big fart for you, but I'll save it for
I
later.
I know, I had one too, and I was like, should I do this in the car on the podcast or not?
Please don't.
Amy doesn't seem to have an opinion about it.
Amy doesn't mind if she doesn't make the scene. She's got a daytime job. She's doing all right. I don't know why we went into Sultan's swing there, but apparently I did, and I did it by myself.
Yeah, that was all on you.
So anyway, pizza. I feel like pizza is so good. There's got to be a catch.
There
that
is a fucking
it.
Catch.
That's what I mean, though. That's what the catch is. Like,
no, the catch is that it's terrible for you. Like,
It wrecks your guts. That's the catch. Because otherwise, it's got all the things you want to eat in it.
But it's all the things that you shouldn't eat together. If you're like, it's like pizza is the antithesis of any. It's like the one food product
that contains
that will,
everything your body needs.
It simultaneously also goes against every diet that's out there. There's no single diet that says. Eat something that resembles pizza, yeah. Which is bread and cheese and sauce and possibly meat. And you're like there's no...
Yeah, every diet takes umbrage with at least one piece out of that.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
I get what you're saying. I don't care.
I like...
I, what you're saying.
I think it's cool. It's like pizza's like the rebellious teenager of foods and like he's greasy, right?
Yeah.
He DGAF.
He's doughy.
He's got weird ingredients on him.
He's doughy?
Sure, yeah. He's still got his baby
awkward
fat.
And stringy in places.
Yeah, exactly. Has a bunch of different like, you know, possible forms that are really weird that no other food takes.
Can we hit greasy again just to really underscore it?
Really greasy. You know, each version or each place around the world has their own version of it.
They're all similar but different. They're all different, but they all share those characteristics.
Yeah, right. So like just like rebellious people, like they all are
they're
like,
all pretty much the same.
You know. They're like, what is it? The South Park. What's the South Park joke? Like,
the
goths are nonconformists. Yeah. Pizzas are, all pizza is nonconformist, but they're all nonconformists. So it's
together,
like,
yeah.
They're all conforming.
But it's also delicious and proof that God loves you. So it's
true. How do you feel about bacon on pizza?
I feel like the trick is it's got to be small. If it's big strips of bacon, it's too much.
I feel like the trick is, okay, that's a good point, actually. And the other part is that it has to be cooked right.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's got to be crispy, but not hard.
I don't know. Those are different?
I mean, like, where you're chewing on it and you're like, it hurts your teeth because you're, like, crumbling your way through it versus that light crispy bacon where it shatters.
Oh, you mean, like, you want, like, bacon flakes, not bacon chunks?
Kind of, yeah. I think that, for me, it throws the texture off if it's too hard.
Because, like, a lot of good burritos, breakfast burritos, have bacon chunks instead of bacon.
And I think it works for...
that's good.
I worked for burritos because of the way
you... For the viewers, for them to kind of understand what I mean by bacon chunk. It's not like a bacon bite, or, you know, it's...
Bacon bit, yeah.
Bacon,
the little piece. Yeah. It's like a solid half-inch by half-inch square that's got a little bit of heft thickness to it.
Mm.
Give you that meaty quality you want in a burrito, but on a pizza, I feel like that's too much. It
so
fucks up the
consistency. If pizza is the rebellious teenager, what is bacon?
Well, personally...
Or bacon-like food.
I mean, for me, bacon is one of those things where it's a little overplayed. You know, it's a little overdone these days. I don't think it needs to go on everything. I don't need my bacon soap or whatever. I don't need that.
I think bacon... It adds a texture, though, that you sometimes
I think
like
bacon,
if it's cooked right.
Bacon is an ingredient, and it's a valuable ingredient, and it doesn't go on everything, but what it does is it provides a necessary boost to the fat content. Some meals have been getting a little too dry or whatever, and adding bacon gives you that little bit of, not necessarily make it greasy, but to give it a little bit of
what your body, what your, what you want to eat. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, you need fats in your food, and it, bacon provides a really flavorful fat.
And it can, I was gonna say,
it can add some salt, so that gives you a nice mouthfeel. I mean, a nice complement to other stuff, because the problem with all this low sodium, low fat diet shit is that 85% of the stuff you like to taste manifests in, or is at least augmented by, the presence of fat and salts.
That's why you'd use things like fish sauce or anchovy paste and things like that, or unagi? Is
umami.
That
umami. Umami is an element of it, but this is an interesting thing. If your food tastes bland at home, you didn't put enough salt or butter in it.
Yep.
One or the other, or both.
And that's interesting, because I think I talked to you about this off-cast. That's a new term we're using.
Off-cast.
The cooking versus science thing we watched is like a documentary that they have on Netflix about a scientist who thinks he can cook food better using just scientific techniques than a cook who's using cooking techniques.
Right.
And I'll sum it up for you in about two sentences. The chef wins because he uses butter.
Yeah. And that's it. That's true.
No, that was one sentence.
Sorry. Go ahead.
The scientist is okay at what he does in life, and I think that he deserves respect.
Which is great, but there's a reason we don't use... I mean, there's a reason people don't enjoy scientifically designed foods.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, like, oxygen bars and things like that. There's a lot of drinks that are made using those lots of cool science.
But even still, a lot of those are still more engineering than science.
What?
They're not sitting there being like, oh, we want to make the perfect drink based off of the balance of this set of aromatics to that set of blah, blah, blah. Instead, they're more like, hey, if you take these chemicals, it makes it into a bubble. And you can make drinks in spheres.
Well, now. I was just thinking, like... you don't go that deep into a lot of gastronomy. I mean, some gastronomy is just as simple as saying, boil it at this temperature instead of this temperature.
Sure. Right? Wow, you're an asshole.
I almost would have done that.
But what does that save? How does that help anybody?
I mean, if you let people in after it, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get it that way. There we go.
But all they did was make everyone else go slower and propagate the problem.
Well, that's
why
I would have done it, because I hate people.
Okay, well, that's fair. Anyway, I mean, as long as you admit that you're just being an asshole.
I did not say that. I said I hate people.
And you're an asshole.
Oh.
But those are unrelated statements, Kyle. So anyway,
you're right, you're right.
I get it. But
shut up. No, you're right. You fucking win.
With the science versus food thing, the answer is always butter.
Well, he does do... So, San the butter, he does actually do a lot of the things that the chef was doing better than the chef. It's just that those, like... There's, like, five ingredients that you can put in anything and make it good. And it's, like, butter, oil, salt, you know. And there's two more that I can't think of off the top of my head, but they probably revolve around some type of spice or something like that.
Soy sauce and garlic.
Sure. I mean, that's actually two. Yeah, okay. Butter, salt. What did I say?
You said oil, which is basically kind of like butter.
But, like, but not... Yeah, whatever.
So, the reason I mentioned this late... specifically was I was recently cooking French omelets. I was learning how to make French omelets. I need to continue to practice my study of French omelets.
What the fuck is the difference between a French omelet and a regular omelet?
So French omelets are a notoriously difficult thing to make. It's a common thing where they test you on it as a new chef and as you exit culinary school. So it's like the thing you do to show you know how to cook. And so, of course, because all cooking is 85% drunk or hungover dick shits, fucking around in the grill and being pretentious, ask for cravats.
That exactly describes that Rob show we were watching, doesn't it, Amy?
I'm sorry, I'm answering emails. What?
Man versus Din or whatever? Rob versus Din? It's just some drunk asshole cooking.
I've met enough people in food service where, yeah, it's a tough job, and they insist on reminding you of that every 10 minutes. While they're smoking themselves to the point where they can't actually taste any of the food they're making, and they're too drunk to know what the fuck is going on.
If I've learned anything from watching Binging with Babbage, is you always have to taste the food.
Yeah.
If you don't taste the food, you're not doing it right.
So, anyway, all of that little diatribe of surprisingly angry vitriol out of Kendrick, aside...
Go back to Canada? Is that what you just said?
No. The point is... This little pretentious game of one-upsmanship about who's the better cook who can't figure out how to cook meat anyway.
It's the Oxford comma of cooking.
The French omelet. And the trick is that there are only three ingredients. Eggs, salt.
And human semen.
And butter.
Oh, shit.
Close, though. And that's it. That's all that you get to have to make it. Eggs, salt, and butter. And you only put eggs and salt in it and use the butter to cook in it. So the whole point of it is you can't mask it by making like a green chili cover. You can't put cheese in the eggs. You can't put whatever. You just have to pure egg and make it fluffy, this right kind of thing. And the trick to it is, like, you throw 2 tablespoons of butter for 3 eggs. Now, if you cook a lot of eggs, you might notice that's what's considered an unreasonable amount of butter.
Mm-hmm.
So you mix the salt in with the eggs.
It's about a third of a stick of butter?
Yes, because I think it's six. Ish. Yeah, I think you're right. It's pretty close to a third of it. You put it in the pan, you're like, this is too much butter. And, I mean, it's like, in the average size skillet that you
use. But it's only for just coating
the
pan, right? You don't put it in the
egg. You don't mix it with the eggs.
Or whatever.
You, okay. No. So when you blend the eggs up so they're thin with the salt. Oh, sorry. And some water. Cold water. A splash of cold water. That's it. That's all you get. And so you blend all that stuff together. And then you melt the butter. And you're like, this isn't coating the pan. This is floating eggs in butter. Like, there's a lot of butter in that pan. And then you cook the eggs and you stir them a certain way. And then you, as they start to set, you start smearing them around a little bit to make sure that they cook even. And then you start to roll it. And then as you roll it, you put another 1/2 tablespoon of butter on it. And then when you plate it, you put the remaining 1/2 of that tablespoon of butter on it then as well. So you're talking 1 tablespoon of butter per egg amount of this. And
that's a half, for the viewers at home. If you get, like, Land O'Lakes butter or something, like, it's pre-measured, it's a 1/2 stick of butter is what you just used to cook one omelet.
1/2 stick of butter for one omelet. And it tastes amazing. And
yeah,
I mean,
it's
like,
mostly fucking butter.
Exactly. No, you're sitting there like, this is really good. And I made it for Kate. Kate's like, I don't really like plain eggs. Like, I'm not a huge plain egg. I like eggs as in rice. I like eggs with hot sauce on them or sometimes ketchup, or like eggs in a sandwich. I like eggs with stuff, but plain eggs, it's sort of like, it's an ingredient. You're not done mixing it yet. I ate this, and I'm like, this is delicious. This is creamy. It's almost custardy. It's delicious. She put a little bit of cheese on top, but she said she ate 1/2 of it first and then put the cheese on it. Like, so, it was amazing, and it's because it was mostly fucking butter.
What's the consistency at the end?
I cooked hers a little softer, so it was a little runnier.
Okay.
And so kind of like a custard consistency in the middle, and then a light scrambled egg on the outside. No browning, no Maillard at all. It was all just pure yellow, light, fluffy butteriness. I cooked mine a little more just to see if I could. My mom likes eggs firm, so I was testing to see if this recipe could be adopted that way, because it served a little runny, a little juicy in the middle. But I wanted to see if you could actually tighten it up without overcooking it.
Yeah.
And it turns out you totally hella can. And so I made it. I mean, it was like just 30 more seconds longer. And then it was not running in the middle. And it still wasn't burned. It was delightful. So,
Jesus crow. These people are like all turning right as well, aren't they?
So I just pull right up and be like an asshole, right? Just stop right there so nobody gets to go.
Just go up and they'll let you in because you have a car.
But seriously, like every one of them's turning here.
Yeah.
So.
Got movement.
And I just can kind of move on in. So, basically, the answer was more butter. And one of the things that I learned as well when I was cooking things at home and following recipes was I don't like to add salt until the end, because you can't take salt out. You can only really put salt in.
Mm.
So I often undersalt all my food. And then I found, like, I'm making it, like, man, there's supposed to be, like, garlic and parsley and like, there's a chicken stock in there and there's all this stuff in it. It's just not popping. Like, where all, I put a lot
of
stuff in there.
In the omelet?
Or no, I mean, like, in dishes in general. Like, I'll put all the stuff in here and I'll be like, God, it doesn't taste like, I mean, I put a lot of effort into getting these flavors in there. Where are they? Put some salt on there. All of a sudden they come out. All the flavors that were in there that were hiding, boom, they come out. And that's why a lot of times if you look at hot sauces or additional sauces, barbecue sauces, can bring these flavors out because they have salt and they have vinegar. That's another one that brings flavors out. And that's why you'll notice a lot of those are salt and vinegar. Those are the flavors that actually pull things, like your flavors out. Those are your flavor magnifiers. So there's a huge gap between undersalting food and oversalting food. And like not putting any salt in there at all. And then oversalting the shit out of it, where it tastes salty.
You're saying
there's a big gap. There's a lot in there as you work your way up to actually building those flavors. And I personally blame the misunderstanding and misapplied understanding of the deleterious effects of salt and fat in a diet. Especially as they're starting to come back around on that and be like, actually, it turns out low fat is not good for you.
Well, it's not that. I think it's the what they do with low-fat stuff well, to make it well, that, still taste
But that's the other part, is they also say, though, is reducing the fat content of your balance of macronutrients is one of the reasons that we people are trying to lower their carbs, is because they put all the carbs in to make up for lack of fat. And so instead, if you just pull the fat up a little bit, you get much better satiation when you eat, so you don't feel as hungry all the time, and then reach for another bag of fucking, well, potato chips have fat in them, but still, you know what I mean? Like, it's the carb problem is partially related to people not having enough fat, so they're craving food more. Aside from the fact that you need more, like the levels of fat that they set, they're talking about revising those because it turns out they set them too low. And your body needs fat to do stuff. Your brain needs fat to operate. So you actually need those lipids in your digestive system and to pull some of those into your body and your blood to actually function properly. And a complete lack of fat in your diet can be extremely bad for you. The other one is a complete lack of salt causes a reduction of electrolytes, which can cause a whole bunch of nervous system issues.
Yeah, that's a really dangerous one that people, I think, don't know.
And so they'll like, oh, I'm down to like 200 milligrams of salt a day. And it's like, you need to have a lot.
That's probably why you're
more.
Down to 200 milligrams of salt a day.
You're having a problem. You need to stop doing that. You're going to make you're killing yourself. So
Literally. Killing yourself.
And so that's where, for me, especially because they've been coming back and saying if you don't have an active heart problem, a high salt diet won't give you one.
Yeah, like it's not something that you develop as some more something that you had genetically. Or
and it's, yeah, it's more like if you have a consistent heart issue or a current heart issue and you overdo the salt, like eating preserved foods all day long, that kind of like way overdoing it, then you can exacerbate the symptoms.
Okay, so I have a crazy tangent, so finish this up, because you're saying that and I was gonna be like, I don't even know why too much salt's bad for you. And then I thought about how Aaron would explain that to me, because that's what he does, and that's mm-hmm. fine, because that's his person. But last night I said something that Amy was present for, so maybe she can weigh in on this too. I said, somebody said something about Irish, and I was like, that's racist. And, of course, whenever you say racist, people get up in arms because of many of reasons, right?
Oh, it's like the best hot button. It's a free piss and, everyone in the room
and
off button.
So, like, but then he said the Irish are not a race. And I thought that was kind of an interesting point to stand on. Because while I do agree that they are a nationality, I also think that they are, like, if you come to America as an Irish person, you're, like, you, like, assume a race of Irish people. Like, they are... Looking at some of the definitions of race and things like that that I did after this conversation, races can be made up of lots of different things. Now, if you're taking, like, the race thing on, like, a census form, they're obviously Caucasian or whatever they call white people because we lump all white people together, but still differentiate all the other people.
But we have four kinds of Hispanic on that same.
Yeah, but we put all white people in Caucasian, so.
Yeah.
So, like, what I was interested in discussing with you on this podcast for the last few minutes we're here was, like, am I completely wrong saying Irish people are a race, or is it just, like, well, I'm just being an asshole, or is it like something you can say?
I would say that from a genetic standpoint, there are regionalities with markers that can be used to differentiate groups and subgroups and, you know, various different permutations of taxonomical whatever. But the term race has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. It's a completely fabricated and totally arbitrary term. So as far as that's concerned, it's purely down to whatever society has decided race is today.
Okay.
And so your answer today may be wrong, and it might have been correct 50 years ago, and it may be correct 50 years from now. But
so I'm wrong according to today's standards.
I'd say you're wrong because the term race is a worthless and utterly pointless term.
Well, that's a different way to say I'm wrong, though. So now I'm wrong twice. Well, God damn it.
But you're right from the standpoint of Irish people having all of the same characteristics, markers, delineators of, say, Zimbabwean or Sub-Saharan African to some extent. So Irish itself may not be the race, but Celtic Islander...
Yeah.
More generic term might be that. But in that sense, it's in the context of a racist comment, obviously no one gives a shit about being racist against the Irish anymore.
But you could be committed. You could. So my argument was, and to the point that you're making, is that you could actually be convicted of a hate crime because you were being racist or nationalist or whatever you call it against an Irish person. So if you actually picked out features of that person that were stereotypically or in fact actually genetically or something Irish,
yeah,
you could actually be convicted of a hate crime.
I can't imagine of a state in the union that would, but by all the characteristics and by all of the language in the laws for hate crimes, yes.
Okay.
I don't think you'd ever see that happening because who gives a shit about making fun of the Irish anymore?
Well, good. Okay. That's not.
But that's the societal part.
That's not the
from thing a descriptive that... standpoint of all the defining characteristics of race and what it means to have a race and those characteristics in that context. Yes, I use that. I just totally circular my way out of that. But yeah, I would say that you're correct in that sense that there is a race of people from the Irish and Scottish Islands that share certain things. With other area neighboring races that would be considered a Celtic race.
Yeah.
But
I just thought it was interesting that all like white-ish people are all one race. And then like but you have again like you said like four different types of like
Hispanic. I still don't know why we have that many Hispanic on there because we have black. And those census papers and those like voter poll things are like the weirdest animal for me. Like I don't get.
And so I guess you're right.
Who's picking those?
It's like it doesn't make any. There's no point arguing this because it's completely meaningless.
It's arbitrary is the answer. It's not necessarily meaningless because it does have meaning and everything. But from any rational, logical, scientific standpoint, it's an arbitrary taxonomy.
What did you call it? Would you say you're being xenophobic then instead of being racist if you make comments about Irish or...
Usually your easiest is just you're being prejudiced. That's your number one easiest thing.
Okay. So being racist is a subset of being prejudiced that focuses on arbitrary delineators between
That focuses humans. On the term race, which has become a politically charged concept that has completely lost any sense of rational, logical, or scientific underpinnings.
Amy, are you still emailing? Okay, what do you think?
About if Irish is a race?
Just in general.
How do you think of that cloud up there?
No, like, do you find either argument compelling? Do you think that there's merit to both? Like, what do you think about when someone says, like, racist? Do you get up in arms about what they mean? Or, like, just in general is what I meant.
Every time I hear racist thrown around, it's by you guys. So it's not as hot topic as I think it can be for some folks.
Because we just do it if you like don't like
you
pizza.
You do it as two cisgendered white affluent males.
Yeah, like that.
Two anti-Tumblr males.
That is the context as far as that's concerned. Is nobody gives a shit what we think about it because we are cisgendered white affluent males.
Except for Amy,
who is a cisgendered white affluent female. Only the second worst person on the planet as far as that's concerned.
That scores me some brownie points on Tumblr.
Exactly one.
And it's a single brownie point.
Because you don't have a penis.
So you only hear us say it, which means it's like just in joke or in jest? Is that what you mean?
When people accuse people of it. So I think it has merit maybe in like the court of law. So you're being a racist. You've done something that's a hate crime. In that case, I think but when you two do it, it doesn't hold as much weight. And when other people do it, it can or cannot, but I think it's usually situational, which is why it's gotten so diluted in the first place.
Do you think that, this is my whole point, is that it seemed like it was a strange hill to die on for me.
So many of those.
And I think we should, in our podcast, because this is funny, bring up more times we see that, like, in our lives. We should have a segment called The Hill I Die On.
Oh, and that sounds fantastic.
And today is the hill I die on is from Aaron claiming that... And you're the first one, Aaron, so you should feel really
special.
You're
welcome.
Aaron claiming that Irish people are not a race so vehemently that I thought he was actually legitimately angry with me.
So next time, we'll have to think of our hills that we've chosen to die on as a sign of solidarity so we're not just picking on Aaron. Because we've both picked hills to die on that are like, why?
Oh, but see,
why
for me, it's
one?
Too... It's like, I do it all the time randomly, and then I'll stop dying on that hill. Like, because mm-hmm. it's...
85% of this podcast is us picking a hill and dying.
Yeah, and so, like, I think that's why it's interesting for us, is because at least me and you, and I don't know, Amy, if you're like this way, but this is the thing where it's like, everything is subjective, right? And so it's hard to, like, stick on a hill you're dying on, because you could learn something new and it could change. And so, you know, maybe one minute you die on a hill and the next you find yourself in, like, on another hill and you're like, wow, this is the exact opposite hill I was on before, but for various reasons.
Well, that guy should die on his hill. You were on that hill. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Amy, do you have any hills that you would die on? Like, that are not normal hills. Like, I mean, obviously,
it's
like...
super tough to come up with these
things. Yeah, off the cuff.
Not that's, like, political, but I think the dumbest one that I've ever died on is the argument that I had with my friend from high school, Micah, who... She claims that Fig Newtons are... No, switch that. Nutrigrain bars are just giant Fig Newtons. And at the time when we had this argument, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And we got in a full-out shouting match in the cafeteria
about if
it was or was not a giant Nutrigrain or a Fig Newton.
That's
I
fair.
I can't even say it.
That's
but
awesome.
Like, that is the dumbest hill I've ever died on, and I still am fine dying there because
they're
no
not.
Part of
they're
me.
Absolutely not the same thing at all.
My, so
like they are.
Like they are. My so I guess
for the record, they're not. Just so everyone knows, they're not.
No, you're stupid. No, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so
final thoughts.
Look at green screen.
Green screen.
So
green.
I was gonna say mine. I have one. It's not really like a. It's an interesting one because. The hill that I died on was when we were up at our Labor Day party that we have once a year, or like back when we had it at the ranch. I got so pissed off at my mom and her friends for painting my toenails while I was sleeping. And the hill that I died on was, you should never mess with someone while they're sleeping because it's total invasion of privacy. And I would not let it up. I was being a total asshole about it the rest of that weekend about how they painted my toenails. And four or five other people got their toenails painted too and were fine. But it was just like...
Yeah, it was just the hill you were going to
yeah,
die on.
Yeah, that was it. I was just being an asshole and I would not let it die. You can think of one. We'll get it later.
Well...
Do you have one?
Real quick, I know one. Sweet. I know one. It was just because... Just to take it to round it out. I got so pissed at my sister-in-law, Emily. Hi, Emily. For locking the door to the garage because I would routinely come home that way through the garage door. And I give some people would have our garage door code so they could come in and without having to give out keys everywhere. And I got so irrationally pissed about that. And I got so mad and I would yell at her about it. I actually turned the doorknob around so you couldn't lock it from that side.
That's
the level I was at. And then after I did that for like a week, I'm like,
what am I
I'm a fucking
doing?
Idiot. What am I doing? What if there's a fire?
This is terrible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and you're like and I'm being completely unreasonable, but it's because I had this roommate in college who bought a lock on their bedroom door and would sneak out in the middle of the night and steal shit from us in the apartment and then lock it in a room.
What?
And so that like triggered this thing in my brain and it was like that's what just set me off. Mm. And we never had a key for that door, the garage door. I still don't know where their key is. It's keyed on one side.
So you'd have to have someone unlock it from the inside.
Someone has to unlock it from the inside. And it was just, it made me so irrationally mad because it just dredged up those stupid old feelings. So.
All right. Well, get ready for more that hills we die on.
Hills to die on with Sit Sock, everybody.
Well, next time we're going to go, I think next time if we remember, we'll go over all the segments that we have and possibly even maybe, you know, think about which ones are good and bad and what segments to do. So you might get to participate in that if you listen to that episode.
Do it.
Later.
Bye.